This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 255, brought to you by InStock Trades and iFanboy listeners like you. Hey, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 255. I am Josh Flanagan, and I'm here with Ron Richards.
We've run out of characters now after 255.
I have not.
That's a computer joke.
Oh.
Sorry, carry on.
I thought because I wasn't doing a character.
Oh, no, 255 characters in the ASCII characters. Okay, anyway, go on. Carry on.
Fucking nerd. And Connor Kilpatrick.
Hi, Josh.
I'm sorry to start off with
good
that.
Good to have
kind
you
of,
back.
Yeah.
I don't. Wow, that thanks. Was – I don't know if I believe that.
Thanks for coming to work, Josh.
Listen, I just gave the people what they wanted.
Still waiting for the doctor's note, Josh.
Yeah. Carol from HR has been
can't take off Fridays without a doctor's note.
Exactly.
You know, it's not just that I was sick. It was that was the only time we could do that because of everybody else's schedule.
Anyway.
I think no we need cares. To do this here. No we need to do this now.
What did Carol say?
Keep it building up. You're right.
We have to have an HR rep present when we have these conversations. You know that. You got the email.
She's always here. I always have my webcam on and just a little like frowning face in the corner.
Listen about that. Carol actually needs to talk to you about that.
I work without pants. You know that's in my contract.
All right. Anyway.
iFanboy.com is our website. It's about comic books because we like them very much. We read them every week. We read all of our Wednesday releases, our polls, as it were. And one of us has to pick the one that they like best. We call that the pick of the week. A review goes up, and then we talk about that on this show, which is why we titled it that. But then the other books from the week and some other stuff that we like to talk about. Before we get going, here's your warning. We're going to talk about what happens in the book, so there'll be spoilers ahead, folks. Use the show notes if you need to skip around like the minefield that that is for you. So if you're worried about that, that's the deal. Ron, go.
Yes, so the pick of the week this week was Uncanny X-Force number 1 by Rick Remender and Jerome Opeña. And I got to admit, you know, while I had high hopes for the book, I wasn't quite sure whether they'd be able to pull it off, and boy, did they pull it off, and more than I could ever have expected or anticipated. This is picking up this series is picking up after the ashes of the X-Force team being disbanded, the previous Wolverine, Warpath, X-23 team, the Cyclops' Kill Squad that was so controversial during the last crossover. And basically, Wolverine and Archangel decide they need to continue it, and so they need a team that will take the extreme measures, and they recruit Psylocke and Phantom X and Deadpool to be on the team. And that's basically the setup. And this first issue launches us into the first story arc, which seems to be dealing with the return of Apocalypse, which is always heavy stakes, considering that both Archangel and Wolverine have been tampered with by Apocalypse before. And I gotta admit, you know, like Deadpool, Phantom X, immediate turnoffs for me, and that was a big thing going into it. And I said, all right, let me put this, you know, put that aside. And I heard a lot about this book. You know, Remender was talking about it. He talked to us about it in San Diego, and we talked to him early in September about the book. And he's really tapped into something here. And I think it's really interesting to see how, after now a couple of years of being at Marvel and writing, you know, characters like the Punisher and Dr. Voodoo and things like that, you know, this is kind of Remender stepping up into the big leagues. I mean, he's writing Wolverine, which is, you know, a very recognizable character.
Which one is Wolverine?
The one with the claws.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
Anyway, and he really, I mean, he when we talked to him in early September, he was saying that this, you know, while the X-Force is a very action-oriented team, this is really going to be like, you know, very deep in characters, and it really was. There was a lot of dialogue, but not too much dialogue, and it provided just the right balance of insight and conflict and relationships between the team members, and where you really kind of, here in the first issue, understand their motivations and understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. And hell, even Deadpool and Phantom X weren't annoying. I mean, he really wrote him in a way.
The hell you say?
Yeah, he wrote him in a way that was really kind of enjoyable. And what the two things that really impressed me by this is that, A, this is a great jumping on point. I mean, obviously it's the first issue, but like, even if you know barely anything about these characters or curious about the X-Men, I would actually say this now, you know, we'll see how issue number 2 goes, but this now, right, might be my go-to kind of, you want to read X-Men, go pick up Uncanny X-Force, you know, because it's a little edgy, it's a little darker, but it's a lot of fun to read. And Jerome Opeña killed it on this issue.
He was fantastic.
Almost to the point where if you didn't tell me who the artist on this book was, I almost wouldn't have been able to say, oh, that's Opeña. You know, and I don't know if he changed his style, but it looks different than Fear Agent. It looks different than Punisher.
Well, it looks similar to Moon Knight, but still a little bit different. But
yeah.
Similar enough to Moon Knight, where, I mean, I bought it, I'd say 75% because Opeña drew it.
Right. And not only was Opeña's pencil just amazing, but Dean White on colors, what a mm-hmm. great balance. My biggest qualm with the first X-Force series was that it was all so dark, and you know, it was kind of Clayton Crane was the first artist on it, and they all had the muted black and gray costumes with the red eyes, and every page was just so muddy. And this actually had a lot of color in it, and Dean White, you know, picked his spots for really dynamic, you know, like the flowing of that green water liquid running down the wall, like, you know, like these little bursts of colors that balanced out the page really, really in an effective way. So,
yeah, this was a lot of fun. I bought it. I really liked it a lot. I have, you know, a pretty good X-Men knowledge, so I was able to follow pretty well. I know that Apocalypse is a big deal. I know Apocalypse made Archangel the way he is, and he's the whole first half is basically Archangel, you know, fighting his inner demons, which is the fact that Warren is infected by the I guess by the Archangel, and it's his demon side or his evil side.
Former Horseman of Apocalypse.
Yeah. Right. So he's constantly dealing with that, and Psylocke, his current girlfriend's helping him deal with that psychically, and so that, you know, leads obviously to the Apocalypse showing up. And yeah. I know I hate Deadpool. I don't hate Phantom X. I don't have an opinion about Phantom X, but yeah. I think it's all right to have characters in a big group dynamic that you don't like because they add spice to the mix. You don't want to like everyone because then there's not a lot of tension. I mean, sure, you can have a team like the Avengers or the Justice League where you like everyone on the team, but you've got to have a grumpy guy on the team that causes trouble. And here you've got Deadpool, who's not grumpy, but is just an idiot,
and
causes tension in the team. And as the reader, you want people to like. It's like the Damian syndrome in Batman and Robin.
Right.
This is just a lot of fun. It's I would call it rollicking. It's a bunch of characters who get thrown together to fight this bad guy, and then there's funny jokes, and there's interplay, and there's a lot of action.
I could see that. I could go with rollicking. I could back you on that.
It's a rollicking good time, I thought. It was a lot of fun, and Rapania is just amazing. He's constantly moving up the list of best guys working right now.
Yeah, that's the real story. I mean, like, early in the issue when Phantom X is breaking into the Tower of London to steal the crown jewels, and he opens the safe, and there's Wolverine. I was like, oh, that looks like he drew a great Wolverine.
Yes.
And, like, you can see the texture in the costumes and just, like, all the little details and things like that. Like, this guy's insanely good.
Yeah.
So like I said, you know, like Deadpool, actually, I found myself kind of chuckling a couple of times. Like, the thing about Deadpool is that you can't, you know, sometimes people go way too far with him. And I think Remender's got the right balance where kind of less is more is almost better.
He's also not on every page.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And it helps that Remender's genuinely a really funny guy. So
yeah.
It translates to a funny character. You know,
he's a sicko.
When Joe Kelly, I'm avoiding any basement references. When Joe Kelly wrote him, people liked it, and he's genuinely funny too. So it helps when you have a writer who's genuinely very funny.
Yeah. So what you're saying, right, is if Daniel Way is not.
I don't know anything about Daniel Way.
He's not funny.
All I know is that Joe Kelly's run got a lot of acclaim. I don't know anything about Daniel Way's run. I don't read
Not
read
funny.
It.
Not funny.
I'm not. All opinions are Ron Richards' opinions.
But yeah, so the back of the issue has got a great kind of primer on X-Force and gives you everything you need to know. Probably a little too much, if you ask me, but that's okay.
What does Steve Rogers think about them?
Well, they were hoping people would jump on who've never read a book before.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, while I know I'm a little biased in terms of my, you know, I'm a fan of the X-Men and stuff like that, I would say jump on, give this a shot if you're curious. I mean, like, the art is amazing, and it's a, like, I like the, back in the day, at least on the X-Books, I don't know enough about the event to know if they carried through this, but the X-Men teams always kept a strict either 5-person or 7-person team roster up until like the early 90s. And it's been a while since we've had a tight, pared down 5-person team. And it gives just the right amount of balance between, you know, each character getting their moments. And
yeah, it was a good size. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really well balanced. So
I had meant to buy this. Like, at the beginning of the week, I was like, I don't know. And then I was like, no, I think I'm going to try, because I don't know anything about this stuff, and I'm not entirely sure I care. But I was like, and then I forgot to put it on my pull list because I just don't see it. And then I got to the store, and I was like, all right, I'm going to buy that. And I completely missed it again. And
a lot of that going around this week.
I can't train myself to look at X-Books. It's a blind spot.
I forgot to buy Hulk. I keep 2 weeks in a row now. I meant to go back and pick up Hulk after you guys talked about it. I keep forgetting.
And it's funny because I think it's how I always seem to draw the pick of the week card when Scalp comes out.
would have been my pick.
Yeah,
I sent out a tweet on Wednesday that said this is the best book being published, and every time an issue comes out, that's what I think. Connor, I mean, you read it, right?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I mean, we're going to talk about Wolverine later in the show, but I thought it was an interesting contrast in Jason Aaron's between Wolverine and Scalp, because Scalp is very, very, very spare.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this issue Wolverine was just chock full of words, and not necessarily in a bad way. It was just interesting to see the two different styles between one writer.
We're at 41 issues into Scalped, and he's sort of going from the past to the future, you know, or the past to the present. And there were, I would say, at least 5 pages, panels, moments in this issue that I was just like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And in a good way. Meaning, it was just like the way that he wrote these characters and these relationships, from the scene at the beginning, which is just Gina, which is Dash's mom, in a really rough scene with a coat hanger. And then the scenes, all of the I don't know the character's name off the top of my head, but Dash's father,
his dad,
and just the way that that whole relationship was, it should have been an also ran. It should have been boring because I mean, you've seen that kind of story a billion times, but it wasn't.
Well, the strength of this book beyond the art from Aram Gera, who was just.
That's a really good point.
Amazing. The strength beyond that is that Jason Aarons knows these characters so well. Oh. So all he has to do is put two of them into a scene and have them just talk. And it's really entertaining and it's fascinating and it captures all of your attention. And you don't need to have any action, even when there is action. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic, but you don't need it. Just the conversation between Dashiell and his father, yeah. Where Dashiell's father, who doesn't really know him all that well, just totally psychologically breaks him down in one page.
Yeah,
just totally says, I know everything about you. You're just like me, and breaks out every little quirk and foible about him and just devastates him. And then the stuff between Shunka and Red Crow, I still like to say Shunka, was great. And even with much fewer words, just the silence and the looks and the he's really good with silent pages in the panels.
Yeah,
in this issue.
It should be noted that I think that, you know, we mentioned Gera, but Gera's acting, we'll call it that, it's exceptionally strong in this issue. And I think it's better than it has been. It's almost smoothed out a little bit. I'm just looking at some of the faces, and like it's the scene that takes place out in the snow with Dash and his father talking to each other, and then finally the last sequence in this is exceptionally well done. The sort of second to last page of the two cars passing each other.
Yes,
I was like, that is one hell of a page. And if you look on the very last page, the shot of Dash where he says hey, and then she says hey. He's almost smiling, and I was like, but he's not really smiling, but he's just starting.
I think he's smiling as much as Dash can possibly smile.
I was gonna say it's the only time I've ever seen him not grimacing.
Yeah.
And so that was notable. It was just another great issue, but every issue's like this. I'm glad I didn't have to write a pick of the week for it again because I'm out of things to say. but really, I mean, wonderful, wonderful stuff the whole way through, and it's every issue is like this, and it's got to be the best thing from my money.
I kind of like the fact that there's not really an overarching story to Scalped. It's just sort of the story of people.
Yeah,
and there are things that happen and there's plots, but it's not like Why the Last Man where there was a story. Mm-hmm. Or Ex Machina, where there's a story, or those Transmetropolitan, where I'm thinking of the long, you know, vertical.
Yeah, but there is. I mean, there's an end game.
Sure, but the thing is, it's not like you're following this trail. Mm-hmm. The trail keeps branching off in different directions, and you go in a different way for a while, and you come back. I mean, it's about Dash and Red Crow, probably, but mm-hmm. we haven't really dealt with that in a while because we've been doing the other things. So in, on the whole, there's probably an overall all story, but at the most basic level, it's just about these people on this reservation and how they deal with each other, which
and
I like
there's
a lot.
Things that they have to work out. I mean, basically, Dash is...
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Right.
You're not the one keeping me up. You're not the one waking me up in the morning. How's that?
Okay.
Anyway, very good. Hawkeye Mockingbird number 5 also came out, and I had a realization about this book this time.
Oh, yeah,
The last 4 pages in this issue are the best 4 pages of the series so far. And they were actually, like, I read them and I was emotionally affected, especially
totally.
The last couple pages. And like I felt it. I was like, oh, wow. And like I get a little chill. And I realized that while it was completely well done and I was actually familiar with the story that had gone on before it, I am not terribly interested in the Phantom Rider story.
Right. Yeah, that was my problem with this.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's got to focus on Hawkeye and Mockingbird, and that's when it's its strongest.
And you know, that's for longtime Hawkeye Mockingbird fans, and I've never really been a giant Mockingbird fan so much, but like this is stuff that needed to be dealt with, and this is their story, and this is how you break them down, and that all has to be there. But like, I don't think I was terribly invested in those characters, especially those villains. Like, I don't know. Crossfire is sort of silly.
It's like that. Well, he's just he's Deadshot from Marvel. It's to me it was. I don't want to sound negative because I enjoyed it, but it's there's a lot of characters in here, and I only really care about a couple of them.
Well, but that's the thing is that in this one I really thought that, and it, you know, sometimes it takes a little while to build up to that.
Sure.
But in this one there was a moment there were some fantastic character moments, especially near the end with Clint when he finally, you know, he's shooting arrows into Crossfire, and he you know is like, which one's your trigger finger? You know, and he does do that, and he does the other thing with the eye.
Yep.
And, like, that was all real good stuff. And then the last few pages, the sort of quiet conversation that Clint and Bobby have, and then followed by the underlying conversation that's happening after Captain Steve shows up.
Mm.
you know, the stuff that isn't said. And then the last page just punched you. I thought it was a wonderful thing. It was a really good end of the issue. But I think that is maybe a little bit what's been lacking. It's been good, but because it's an adventure book, it's been all about the adventure and the action, and that's not my bag.
And there's a lot of people who we're either just being introduced to, or we have vague knowledge or history with, at best. I do agree is that I think there's been a lot of people over the span of these first five issues, and really what it comes down to is it's Hawkeye and Mockingbird. That's what the mm-hmm. the title of the book is, and that's what it should focus on. It's good to have a cast of characters, but I think they've got to be developed a little more before we really care as much as we do about the lead characters. So,
well, I just think that, I mean, it's an action adventure book, and that's not my thing so much. Like, it's fun a little bit, but if that's what it all is and that's what it all was, it's hard to make an emotional connection to that.
Yeah.
And so when they sort of go back the other way and they really get into what those characters are doing, especially after you spend some time with them. I mean, maybe that's why it worked. But it was a great ending to the arc.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the arc's not over. One more issue.
Is it? Oh.
To be concluded, it says at the end.
That usually means there's another one coming.
Yeah.
Well, it's an ongoing.
Yeah. We'll see after the Widowmaker event. I don't believe
they can kill either of these characters anytime soon.
Yeah.
That would be
the book. On the other hand,
it would be
we're hoping it sticks around. I mean, we're very, very hopeful. But
every time Shield comes out, Shield number 4 came out this week.
Oh, don't say a bad word about it this week.
I keep thinking I should just drop this book from issues and read it in trade because it's so dense. There's so much going on.
Oh.
I really feel like I lose the thread, but this issue was pretty good.
This issue was I want this all the time. Come on, you've got Spaceman Leonardo da Vinci talking to Elder Isaac Newton, and then you reveal later in the issue that Nostradamus has been held hostage, and you get this fantastic two-page spread of all of his predictions and how it applies in the Shield universe, and Ben Franklin with a little Shield medal on his jacket, and it was awesome.
Sounds like I already read this when I read Neil Stevenson's The Baroque Trilogy.
I could see that.
That's all that I can say is whatever you just talked about right there made me want to read that again.
Yeah. Well, I got to say is that when I hit Nostradamus, I just started giggling. I thought it was great. It was like, this is like living in the History Channel. It was awesome. And just the fact that Hickman's writing this all into the Marvel Universe, that's what I'm infinitely curious about. Is like we've got a mention of Celestials, so we're starting to see little hooks into the Marvel Universe. I just want to know how it catches up to now. You know?
Well, that was actually the part where I didn't care as much as when the Celestials showed up when they were talking. It was the other stuff I really enjoyed. I enjoyed the Leonardo da Vinci and the Nostradamus stuff, but it was the Celestial mumbo jumbo that came in the middle that I didn't really care so much about.
Again, on the art side, props to Dustin Weaver. He's doing great. I think that's really one of the underrated things about this is that he's doing straight up normal kind of comic book, panels and layouts with the Da Vinci stuff. But then it goes to the flashback to China and totally changes, not totally changes style, but goes to a different style to reflect that time period. Mm. And then the two page spread of the sun and Da Vinci, that painting, it just looked amazing. The art really impressed me as well. And I love this two-page spread with Nostradamus. I just love Nostradamus.
There you go.
When in high school, after seeing a History Channel special on him, I took out the book of all of his quatrains and read them all, and I was like obsessed for like a month. So he really did predict everything.
Sure.
Did he predict a lot of stuff that also didn't happen?
Yes.
Well, it's also open to interpretation.
It's like a palm reader.
Yeah, exactly. I like the fourth one, the Nazi holding the Spear of Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
A lot of Nazis this week.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Oh, yeah.
This week?
There's been a Nazi resurgence.
No, but this particular week, there were a lot of Nazis.
There was a lot of Nazis. Yeah, there was.
Anyway. Not in Batman Odyssey number 4.
No, not at all.
Well, I think there was drug use. I finished.
On the part of whom?
Neil Adams. I finished reading this issue and I thought, man, whatever he's on, I want a part of. I want a piece of that. Because this book is nuts.
It's totally crazy. It just gets crazier and crazier with every issue.
I describe it as like one of those strange 1250 Saturday Night Live sketches that they put on, that they, the sort of wacky ones. It's not going to
be the Hurley boy.
It's not going to get a laugh, but it's just going to be weird and just a bunch of random strange characters keep popping up for no apparent reason, having strange conversations full of non sequiturs. This is a bizarre book.
That's a really good description of it, actually. Now that I think you just nailed it. I think that's my. I'm totally gonna steal that description from you.
The highlight of this issue being a mulleted, strangely costumed Aquaman showing up at the end. And then Batman and him get in an argument for no reason, and Batman jumps into the water.
This is Connor. This is your X-Men Forever.
It totally is.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It is a bizarre, bizarre book.
Yeah. Are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
And it's fun to look at too. I mean,
Neil, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, some of Neil Adams' best work in recent time, as far as I can tell. And it's totally fun to look at. It's insane, which makes it even better.
But everyone's yelling at each other for no reason about weird things, and there's
a lot of yelling. A lot of yelling in the book.
A lot of yelling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. But
it's just strange.
I'm for one glad that it's going to run, 13 issues?
Yeah, they added some more.
Because the story was too big.
Couldn't contain it all. And what was it, 10 originally?
Yeah,
or
it was 10 was the original number, so they added
more. That's a lot more.
Yes, it is.
That's like, 60 pages?
Woo! And it's not like he's skimping here. It's not like he's doing a decompressed style. There's a lot of stuff going on each page.
All we got to say is thank God Frank Miller flaked.
Dude, the Earth is expanding, and so is the story. What can you do?
Well, when Batman Odyssey finally finishes, you'll be able to go pick up the trade paperback, and you can get that from InStockTrades.com. We want to thank them for sponsoring this episode. You can save up to 37% off, and they've got free shipping on orders over $50. They've got over 9,000 trade paperbacks in stock and are ready for you to order. They got new releases every Wednesday if you haven't been reading Scalped, which is fantastic. You can go pick up the trades for Scalped and get that. The orders usually ship within 48 hours, and you can get all that, do your ordering, do your searching, get that all at www.instocktrades.com.
You think there will be a Batman Odyssey Absolute Edition?
I would buy that.
Not you, just you.
Yeah, just me.
Just you. Only you.
So Wolverine number
will 2. Will you buy 1,000 of them?
No, I won't.
All right, then there won't
be free shipping, though. So orders over $50.
Will somebody buy 1,000 of them from InStock Trades? Our new challenge to you is to pre-order 1,000 non-existent Batman Odyssey Absolute editions
when it comes out.
Do it now.
in 2 years when that potentially could happen.
three,
right? Yeah.
At least
this book's insane.
So Wolverine number 2, Jason Aaron's second issue on his newly minted no adjective Wolverine
Nazis in series. This one.
There were Nazis.
This one. I really liked this.
I really liked it a lot too.
Totally, I liked it more than the first one.
Yeah.
Totally different tone from Scalp that we were talking about earlier. Wolverine goes to hell. I feel like you guys were a little more skeptical about this at the end of the last issue.
Yes, we were.
A couple of things that occurred to me here. I don't read Wolverine all that regularly, but I knew almost every character that showed up in some way, which I think is really interesting. Yeah. And I don't know if that's the way it was written or just that he's so ubiquitous, but if you've just read a couple of stories. But the other thing was that I think there was a lot of doubt about Renato Gaddis being the right guy for this.
Yeah, and he's really goodness.
This looks fantastic.
Yeah, I totally turned a corner on the art. I thought the art was great in this issue. I pull back anything I said about Gaddis. Although I do got to say I did have one complaint that when Mystique and Wolverine's girlfriend were arguing and then you turn the page and there was the two Ghost Riders and Hellstrom, I thought that was the end of the issue.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it keeps going.
Ghost Rider cliffhanger. Oh, wait a minute.
I was so glad that it wasn't. I was like, oh, that's lame. Oh, it's not the end. That's fine.
Yeah.
Thank God I knew who Puck was now, though.
Yeah.
So thanks, Ron.
I hooted when Puck was there. I was like, hey, yeah. Puck.
I was like, this is vaguely familiar. Oh, he says it's Puck. That's helpful. So who's the other guy? Do you know?
I do not know who the other guy is. I think it might be – I have no idea who it is.
Oh.
Well, because he refers to him as the boy and Reckon. It might be – is it – don't tell me it's somebody from Origin.
At least on that
it's
last –
Skinner Sweet.
Yeah, at least on that last panel, though, he has a tiny baby arm.
Yeah. Oh, he does. That's weird.
He's like a thalidomide baby. It's not right.
Oh, that's awful.
That's the worst thing I've said today.
It really is, yeah. Well, I enjoyed the backup, the Yukio backup.
I didn't like it as much as the last one.
Yeah, no, I missed the Jason Latour's art. Like, yeah. I want a full book by Jason Latour now. That was so good. But this was really enjoyable. It was good. So the Image Comics put out the CBLDF Liberty Annual, the annual every year for the past couple of years. They put out a single issue to help raise money for the CBLDF.
I thought it rotated amongst the companies.
No, it's mainly an Image. It's been an Image.
Is it? Sure.
I thought it was Dark Horse the first year.
Yeah.
It's been Image for the past 2 or 3 years at least. So.
I don't think that's accurate, but go ahead.
It is. Anyway, but Yeah, no, this was great. I mean, for $4.99, you get, I mean, look at all the names that are in it. You got a great Derek Robertson Conan story. You got the first new Milk and Cheese story in years. You got if for everybody curious about Jeff Johns writing things other than DC characters, you have Jeff Johns and Scott Collins doing X-Ray. And then some great pinups by like Frank Miller and Terry Moore and Jeff Smith and Scotty Young and Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. And yeah, it's just, I mean, for $5 going to a good cause like this, it's good to see all the publishers get together and all the creators get together. I don't know, hard to argue. So if you haven't picked this up, I'd strongly recommend it. Did you guys pick it up or no?
Yeah, and I don't feel like I can, judge a book like this normally because it's a charity book.
Sure, exactly. Yeah.
So I'll just say it was a comic book.
Yeah, I mean it was fun. I got a lot out of it. I definitely felt as if I got $5 out of it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone did at least.
I'd like to point out that by not saying anything, you've said something. I'm gonna guess New Mutants Forever number 3 is Gawk.
Okay, here's the thing. Pick. Here's the thing. New Mutants Forever number 3, which I don't think I have to check the sales numbers, but I might be the only person buying this.
Might be the only audience
in the world. This we were talking about Nazis before. There were a lot of Nazis in this issue. like to the point where I talked to somebody at Marvel today, and they're like, "Did you read New Mutants Forever?" Like, there were a lot of Nazis, weren't there? And I was like, "Yeah, there were." I'm like, "How are you guys getting away with that?" For some reason, Claremont has decided in his little Alterna pick up where I left off universe to pit the New Mutants against the Red Skull and Nazis in South America. And literally on every page, there's a swastika.
Doesn't sound like there's anything necessarily wrong with that.
No, I mean it's crazy fun. It's insane, but like it got to the point where halfway through I'm like, I'm tired of seeing the swastika. Like it's almost like the artist went out of his way to make
that's
sure.
That's correct. You have thought that is the absolute proper response to the swastika.
There are just a lot of swastikas. Like so, the Red Skull captured what's her face, Doug Ramsey and Amara. Magma, and so now they're like clad in Nazi paraphernalia, and like it's just ridiculous. It's like this, like X-Men Forever is sane compared to this book.
Do you think that they're starting to stretch the Forever banner?
Well, maybe? this is a limited series. It's only 5 issues, so
okay.
Yeah. like X-Factor. But I thought you didn't like this one. I remember you talking about it.
No, it hasn't been as good. It's definitely not as good. Also, I didn't have as much invested in the in where Claremont left off with the New Mutants as others might have, or I'm not sure. But interesting thing that I just noticed was that on the cover, the Nazi characters, they took off the swastika off their costumes on the cover.
So they can
actually sell some comics.
So they could sell it in Germany. From what I understand.
So many Nazis. Too many Nazis. So
Sweet Tooth number 14, I thought was very good. It ramped up what's been happening a lot. Everyone's sort of been sitting around doing what they're doing. And you know, you get to know everybody and everything's fine. But in this one, I thought that what you're seeing is Sweet Tooth, the character, like take a step forward.
Yep.
And grow up and start to move. And then there, you know, this big stuff happening over with Jeopard. And I really liked it. I was like, all right, yeah, we're moving now. It's good.
It was definitely a movement issue. It was definitely like I felt as if like not a whole lot happened.
Well,
really, if you look at from the beginning to end, I mean, yes, things happened that they escaped and that Jeopard and the other people kind of, you know, started their, you know, kind of their trek. But in a short time span, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is that the story moved forward a lot.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing about the way that Lemire does these issues, I think. Yeah. But, you know, big things happened. Yeah. You know, they got out. They abandoned the guy who let them out. Sweet Tooth clubbed the thing to death.
The crocodile.
Yeah.
The sewer croc.
I was trying to help the trade waiters there.
Oh, sorry.
And then this weird sort of relationship that Jeopard's got going on with these girls, and then this group of mask-wearing weirdos.
Yeah.
We have an army. I just thought that Lemire's art actually took a couple of steps forward in this one,
yep,
too.
Agreed. It looked really good. Strongest one in a while, yeah, I think.
He
yeah,
pushed himself.
So, yeah.
And
yeah.
Worked out well. So, great issue. Great
yeah,
issue.
Very, very good.
Right. I have this next one, too. Baltimore Plague Ships number 3. This is the thing that Mignola is doing over with some other people. I don't have it in front of me. Sorry. At Dark Horse, every issue of this has been a whole big ball of post-World War I vampire fun. There's nothing that hasn't been great about anything of these books. It's almost like, it's just like, it's like, oh, Mignola. like in his best, really, you know, without being tied down to that whole thing that's going on in Hellboy or anything like that. It's just this badass Lord Baltimore, and it's a lot of fun. I don't think it's Lord Baltimore. I think that's a different character.
I think
or a real person. Yeah, I forget, but whatever. It's great. And there's dead Nazis in this, except they're vampires.
So many Nazis in comics. Why?
That's Mignola's. That's
true. Yeah, he's had the corner market on Nazis for years. So
the corner market.
Yeah, you know, it's down on the corner. It's all the Nazis.
Yeah, it's in the Nazi district on 6th and 35th. Nazi district. It's very small.
That's the worst thing you said today.
It might be.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not
a
very...
about what it means.
Oh, God, that was awful.
I think whatever it is that you think I said, it was just a mistake or a random coincidence.
He was a couple of blocks away, Connor. Give him that much credit.
I don't...
Oh, that's awful. Anyway, so those are the comics that came out this week. If you go to ifanboy.com, you can see all ifanboy.com/comics. You can see all the comics that came out. You can do your pull list, and you can rate and review your books.
Well, speaking of Nazis, John 42, he reviewed Ultimate Comics Thor number 1. He gave the story a 4 out of 5. The art a 5 out of 5. And at the time of recording, 7.7% of the population made this a pick of the week. And John 42 says, the opening 8 pages of Ultimate Comics Thor achieve a miraculous superhero sequential rhythm that I haven't felt since the first 3 pages of All-Star Superman. Hickman and Pacheco deal out panels and words with pulsing momentum from the opening battle cry, do you lack faith, brother, or do you believe? Through the Ragnarok splash to the title page, the team behind this book, Vines on Inks, Delgado on Colors, Cowls on Letters, deliver a perfect comic timing. In this issue, this was great.
Were there Nazis in this?
This was a fantastic. First, this was fantastic. This made me think, even though it's a miniseries, unless the regular Thor knocks me out of my socks next week, I'm going to drop that because I'm going to be buying this and buying the other Thor book. I don't need 3 Thor books.
Wow.
In this issue, there's a little bit in the present, but most of it's in the past, dealing with the Nazis under Baron Zemo, who's leading an army of Nazis. They're going to invade Asgard.
Wow.
I told you, a lot of Nazis this week.
I mean, but every time I think that, I'm like, well, that must be all the Nazis that we have to talk about.
No.
He can't.
A lot of Nazis.
He can't keep those Nazis down. They just keep coming back.
Nothing else, at least in the comic book universe, they're plucky. Can I say, I'm going to try to derail whatever's going on over there. I love the Ultimate Thor design.
Yes.
It's probably one of the best modern Thor designs around.
Yeah. I mean, I really like actually the current Thor design in the Marvel Universe too, but I really like the because, you know, it's very different. No cape.
No helmet.
Weird.
And so this issue, they flash back where the Frost Giants are constantly attacking the walls of Asgard, and Thor and Loki and Baldur and all those guys are constantly fighting them back. And this issue, while that's going on, Baron Zemo, he's found a bunch of relics that will open up the Rainbow Bridge, because as everyone knows, who knows, the Nazis historically were very into the mystical arts. They're always trying to, you know, Hitler believed in that stuff, and he was in real life, so that's why they use it all the time in comics. And that's why it works in the story. So he found the way to open the Rainbow Bridge, and they were going to go in and attack Asgard. And so there's lots of parallel storytelling going on. And it's not – this is Hickman not doing huge, giant ideas and lots of talking. This is pure action-adventure Hickman. Mm-hmm. And he's really well-suited for the Asgardian way of talking. And at the very end, we see Odin has directed his personal blacksmith. He's creating Mjolnir. Because in the battle scene, I didn't realize Thor is wielding a sword.
Nice.
At the end here, he's creating the ultimate weapon, right as Baron Zemo's set to attack Asgard with some Frost Giant buddies. But it's really, really good. I like this a lot.
Cool.
Nice.
Joe Com read Orcstain number 5, giving the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. That's very high. Your pick of the week percentage at this time is 2.9%. That's quite high for a book.
Are there
like
Nazis
this.
In Orcstain?
No.
Are we sure?
That would be awesome if it were.
Should we do this then? Anyway, Joe Com says, Orcs are filthy creatures, but that doesn't stop them from being a fantastic comic book. I find myself loving Orcstein more and more with each story as the plot gets deeper and crazier. Not only that, but I find myself actually laugh out loud while reading this book, something few books on the shelves have been able to do. This is an all-around fun book to read and should be talked about more because Stoko is putting it all into his work. Plus, it has Nazis. I added that last sentence just now.
Yeah, it's funny because he mentioned how, Stoko should be heralded, and we should talk about this book more. We haven't talked about it as much on the show. I don't know why or for what reason, but
are you reading it?
Oh, I'm reading every issue and loving it. I love Orcstein.
So it's your fault.
Orcstein is fantastic. Apparently, it is my fault. But Orcstein is fantastic. It's so crazy in that, like, you know, in that. I want to liken it to like the same way that everybody looks back on the old like crazy 70s, 60s Doctor Strange psychedelic stuff. This is just out there. Like, it's totally like you need to, you know, it helps if you play D&D or World of Warcraft or know what orcs are and stuff like that, but it's just so wacky and just so borderline psychedelic. It's
I thought you were going to say you need to do drugs. I thought you were like you need to read it just fucking baked.
But it's really good. So definitely check out Orcstein when it gets collected in trade because and it looks beautiful. Stoko's art is so good. Oh, he's so good. So.
Do kids still say baked? I don't know. Is that am I dating myself there? I don't know. Is that a marijuana cigarette, son?
It's grass. More work.
What? Oh. Sorry, there a second there.
So yeah, so go to ifanboy.com/comics, do your pull list, write reviews, we'll read them on the show.
All right. More work. If you listen to this show and I'm getting emotional now. I'm going to bring it down.
Up the Nazis. That's
a moment.
If you listen to this show and our other many, many podcasts and video shows and the like every week, you might find yourself wondering, how can I help and support the show? How can I help the guys? How can I help me provide hours of free entertainment and make my comic book experience better? Well, easy. You can click on the banners on the website. You can check out the sponsors. You can do all those help the people out that help us out by just clicking around and looking at their products. You can go to ifanboy.com/Amazon, where you can make all your Amazon purchases. Just click on the Powered by Amazon button. It takes you right to the website. Everything you buy there, we get a little tiny piece of and no cost to you. You can check out the shirts available at ifanboy.com/store. There's the Fear Agent shirt. There's a relative small handful of Battlepunk shirts. There's Power Responsibility shirts. There's all kinds of things you can check out there. But the best way to do that is become an iFanboy member. And how you do that is at $4 a month or $42 a year, you get an iFanboy prize pack with some stickers, some buttons, a comic from our collection. Or you can get the $10 a month, $100 a year level. And that gives you all that stuff plus a t-shirt and all that plus our internal gratitude. And you become our favorite people. We love our members. So that's how you help out the show. That's how you help us out. If you like the show, want to keep us going, please sign up for membership. It's really nice.
Yes.
Costs one bad comic a month. Plus, you become eligible for our many, many giveaways. We'll be doing one of those again this week. We've been doing them all month. We're doing all the rest of the month. And the only way to win things is to be a member.
Indeed. So thank you to all the members. And we'll be announcing our winners later in the show. We just can't stop giving stuff away. So... All right, on to the email. Our first email is from Dave Carr, who says that all four seasons of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, are streaming on Netflix. There's been a lot of talk about the veracity and usefulness of the aspirational characters of late, especially in light of JMS's impending run on Wonder Woman and Supes. I thought you might be interested in tweeting something about it. The series, while not perfect, offers a lot to like and certainly helped me appreciate the character when the series aired. John Shea plays a damn fine Luther, too. So, yeah, we're not going to post or tweet about it. We're going to talk about it, Dave.
Wow, they're going the extra mile.
Yeah. I loved Lois and Clark. I watched it when it was on broadcast. It was great.
Well, at least I remember the first season was really good.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed the whole run. I mean, and yes, John Shea stole the show as Luther. He was a great Luther.
He was a great Luther, and they did the going against the grain. They didn't have the bald Luther.
Well, I think he went bald later in the show.
He went bald towards the end. Maybe not the very end. Maybe the last half. But yeah. I remember the first season was all controversial because it was a, you know, flowingly maned John Shea.
I felt as if the show was very much. I don't want to say it was a little more modern then, but I felt it was rooted more Silver Age. Then, you know, like it was definitely
it was a bit goofier. It played a lot for laughs. There's a lot of comedy in the show.
Yeah.
Clark was sort of the better looking one. He had the floppy hair, whereas opposed to, you know, in the comics, Clark slicks the hair back, puts the glasses on, and in the show they had Clark with the flowing hair because it was more about Clark.
It was more out of the costume than in the costume. Yeah. He always looked a little goofy in the costume, to be honest. But
Yeah. No, but it was a good show. I remember
because Dean Cain's like 4'5".
I remember I hated Jimmy though.
Yeah, I had every episode on VHS for a while. I remember taping it every week.
Oh, God, wow.
Because it hadn't been a major TV show featuring superheroes and since
it was
like
on for
Flash.
A while. It was on for a really long time, wasn't it? It went through most of the 90s.
It was on for 4 seasons.
4 seasons? That's a long time. It's half the decade.
Nearly. It's a long time for that show.
Yeah,
so
totally.
As a comic fan, I was super excited for it. So I remember taping the first season.
Yeah. But that said, I mean, I think it definitely, like you said, it played up to laughs, but it also played up to the hopefulness and the making the world a better place kind of thing. It was very more sunshiny. It was a very bright show. You know.
Yes.
You know, whether or not JMS is pulling from that in his current run of Superman or not, I don't think so.
He's not.
He's not doing anything, actually.
Yeah. What is Dean Cain doing these days? Oh, yeah, he's appearing in Cincinnati in the Superman Day Parade.
He's a has-been.
Yeah. Anyway.
There it is. I said it outright.
So if you have any...
Like, Dean Cain is the definition of a has-been. He had it for just a little bit.
Jeez, harsh. He
played in the NFL. He got hurt. He went to acting. He did that for a while.
Really? He was a football player?
Yeah, he played for the Bills.
And he was 4'9". I don't know.
Have you know that he...
next guy's from Buffalo. That's crazy.
He's been quite busy, that's for sure.
He's been in a bunch of Lifetime movies?
He was in... he's done a lot of voiceover work. He's in some TV movies. The Dog Who Saved Christmas. The Three Gifts.
Things that like have a vaguely Jesus message.
He was on an episode of CSI Miami. He was on an episode of Smallville.
Anybody who ever had anything to do with Superman's been on an episode of Smallville at this point.
Dan Juergens probably had
a cameo.
He works regularly.
Yeah, he does. He's busy.
He does work regularly. He's not in big things, but he's constantly working. I see him on TV a lot.
Yeah. I'm looking for some sort of movie or something that I recognize. Wow, IMDb's new layout has got a lot to be.
Sucks.
Yeah. It's horrible.
There's nothing wrong with the list. It was all right there.
Yep, exactly. So if you have any questions or want to suggest things for us to talk about, you can shoot us an email at contact@ifanboy.com. But now we've got some voicemails. It's been a while since there's been some voicemails, so we're going to do a couple here. Our first voicemail's got a question about a second time around of reading a book.
Hey, fanboys. This is Jack from New Orleans calling to ask you a quick question. Last night, I couldn't get to sleep, so I pulled a book off my shelf, and I decided I was going to read the Infinity Crisis hardcover. I'm sorry, not Infinity, Identity Crisis hardcover. And while I was reading it, the difference between the last time I read it and reading it now is I've been married for a couple of years at this point. We're expecting our first child. So I went ahead and started reading it, and I couldn't put it down. I read through the whole thing, and at the end of it, I completely lost my shit. I actually wound up, it was about 12:30 at night, and I had to go wake my wife up to talk to her, to make sure to do the whole, you know, I don't tell you very often, blah, 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 blah. I was wondering if there's any book that affected any of you differently, maybe the second time you read it, maybe the first time you read it, and it just really grabbed you in a way that you weren't expecting. Thanks a lot.
That is a thing that actually comes up a lot because we buy a lot of stuff and there's a lot of stuff that I get to reread and some stuff I just ended up having because I thought I was supposed to have it and I read it the first time and I didn't click. I'm thinking of right off the top of my head, like the first time I read Blankets, I was like, ooh. And then the second time I read, I liked it a lot more. I think I've got a lot of stuff by Alan Moore that – I read once because I was like, I should read this. It's totally what I should be reading now. And I didn't really like it. And then later, you know, years later, you go back and you sort of read it through one more time. I remember liking The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen immensely more the second time that I read it. A lot more. I've got Promethea here because I'm about to do the same thing with that. Even something like Starman, reading it through the second time, I like it a lot more. There was just a lot more there. Even stuff that I did like a lot. The second time I read it, I loved it even more. I think of Preacher when I think of that because the second time I read it, I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, even better than I remembered.
For me, most recently, it was Scott Pilgrim. I mean, like, as cheesy as that sounds, but like I had read each of the volumes just one time through. Mm-hmm. And then when the movie came out, I went back and read it again. And like, I just remember like giggling through the first like three at how, you know, just revisiting how great it was and admittedly caught up in the moment and all that sort of stuff. But definitely got a revisiting vibe off of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Recently, I had the opposite happened. a little bit.
How so?
A little bit. I've been reading through my Powers hardcovers a little more.
Not as good?
And it's not as good as I remember sometimes. Some of it, there's bits of it that are, I'm like, oh, that's really good. But some of it is a little bit like, we've been watching Bendis do this for so long that, like, it was kind of impressive when they first, also the lettering was really bad.
Ooh.
It was.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Someone's going to get an email.
Yeah, someone's definitely going to get an email now.
No, it's not him.
Oh, it wasn't? Oh, okay.
No, because he does it now, and it's really good.
Right, yeah. Oh, he didn't always do it, did he?
No, he did not.
Right.
And at first, granted, it was a gargantuan job to be given to do the lettering on that. But it was, like, there's parts of it that were really good, but sort of near the end of the second hardcover, I was like, oh, there's some really good things happening here. It's some of it I understood better, but just it didn't blow me away the same way that it did once. But it's a simpler time.
Indeed. All right, our next voicemail is I got a question about relationships.
Hey, iFanboys. This is Carl from Florida, and I have a strange question. What comic book characters do you think have a strange relationship? For me personally, it's kind of unsettling to see the ultimate versions of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, or really even their mainstream versions. I have two sisters, and our relationships are not like that. It's a little too close for comfort, if you know what I mean. So what characters do you think have just a strange relationship? Also, side note, who am the strongest one there is? Just curious. All right. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
He's trying to bite me. I can hear it. I think it's Hulk.
So I think, Carl, I think there's an important distinction that you might not have had pointed out to you, which I think we probably will do you a service to point out to you, is that these characters are not real.
Yeah. I bet you and your sisters aren't mutants.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And your dad was not a victim of the... Nazis. There it is.
But yeah. So I definitely don't think that the ultimate portrayal of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch is anything to measure normal relationships in real life by. So
they're intentionally vaguely incestuous. That's a choice they made for the ultimate character sets.
Jeff Loeb. Yeah. Great.
It's not like it's
Miller.
Yeah. It's Miller. It's not like it was you could read into it. They did that on purpose to make it weirder.
Yeah. Comic books get extreme. What can we say?
I never trusted Tony Stark and James Rhodes' relationship.
All right, moving on. Our last.
What about Scarlet Witch and the Vision? I mean, he's a robot.
That's true, but he does have a soul. Or he did have a soul.
Bucky?
And anybody?
Just saying. Oh, exactly. Exactly. I don't trust that guy as far as I can throw his robot arm.
All right, our last voicemail's got a question about our video show.
Hi, fanboy. This is Rob from Gilbert, Arizona. I've been watching you on my Roku on Revision 3 for the last 2 years, and I was dismayed to hear that you would no longer be on Revision 3. And I was wondering if you will be streamed on any other services like Mediafly or I believe it's Blim. So let me know. Thank you.
Well, first off, thanks for watching, and thanks to everybody who's been watching your video show. If you're not aware of what he's referring to, we posted on the site this week, and we mentioned on the podcast last week that we are moving on from our relationship with Revision 3, but that doesn't mean that our video show is going anywhere.
Guys, that was a big decision to make, just because I had the week off. You could have at least talked to me about it.
I know, we probably should have consulted.
Tom thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, Tom approved it.
Oh,
but anyway, but we do have good news for you, Rob, in that we will be available on Roku again. Don't have all the details immediately, but once it's all plugged in and working, we will let you know. Keep your eye out on ifanboy.com, and we will make sure everyone is aware of it. But yeah, the goal is to get the video show available everywhere it was previously, as well as even more new exciting places. So yes, you will be watching us on Roku again in the future. So
there's going to be a regular Wednesday viewing party at Josh's place every Wednesday.
Yes, indeed.
Bring
but
chips.
As long as everybody's very quiet, as long as it's after 7, I'm fine.
So if you have any questions, you want to leave a voicemail, call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697.
October is another giveaway month at iFanboy for iFanboy members. You've got to be a member to be eligible for giveaways. We've been doing them every week. We're doing them for another couple of weeks, I think ending on Halloween.
But when we say ending, we'll probably just have some more later.
Right. This particular one will be ending on Halloween. The show is ending on Halloween.
Yeah, let's just start saying things like that.
So this week's prize is the Marvel and DC prize package. It's a bunch of random Marvel and DC trades, including Batwoman, Planetary Volume 4, Gears of War Volume 1, Revolver, Trick or Treat, Hulk, Fall of the Hulks, Fantastic Four, Iron Man, Big in Japan, Criminals Volume 1 and 2. So you're getting a whole bunch of trades there. And the winner of that prize pack is Carly Curran. Carly Curran is our winner. She's going to be getting this prize pack in the mail at some point. In a few weeks.
Congratulations.
And she was a member. That's
yes,
how she won.
That's so
become a member to be eligible, and maybe you can win. We've got some more. We've got a 2080 prize pack coming up next week. And the week after that is the big sort of grand prize, My Mystery Long Box prize pack, which I have to give an update on before we go. I bagged and boarded all the comics this past week. You may have seen me tweeting about some of the books that I was discovering. And if you saw the video show where I showed the box off, some of those books didn't make it into the box because once I bagged and boarded everything, they all didn't fit in the box anymore.
How did you choose what made it in and what didn't make it in?
One, I pulled out the run of Aquaman because it wasn't complete.
Okay.
There was a missing issue. The first issue was missing. I don't know where the first issue is somewhere. I didn't want to give somebody an incomplete run when everything else there was complete.
Right.
And I pulled out a run of Valor
from
the 90s. And I thought some of the other stuff was more interesting or more fun. Yeah. So you're getting a full to the bursting long box. It just couldn't fit everything in there once it was all bagged and boarded. Because when you bag and board your comics, you can fit less of them into a long box. So
there you go. And that's not the only giveaway we're doing. Josh, you have stuff to give away?
Yeah, you may remember if you've been on the website, we have a giveaway from allposters.com. They have launched a Marvel collection, and they're doing these giclée. Prints, I believe, is the French for it. They're these super high quality prints, and I've seen them up close. Like, they're as good as a print can be, and they have a classic Marvel collection. So there's all this stuff from like images from 60s and 70s Marvel, and there's just tons of stuff on there. You go to allposters.com and you can see what's there. But they have offered kindly to donate a print of your choice. So it's any of the things that are on there. And I'm saying, like, there's like Romita Spider-Man and Kirby Captain America and Hulk, Buscema Hulk, things like that, up to, I think, 30 by 40.
Which is huge.
That's awesome.
That's huge. You can get them framed. They've sent a couple to me so I can see what they look like, and they are gorgeous. This is like.
Wait a minute. How they sent a couple to you?
I should have shown you that when you came over.
Yeah, you should have. What was it? What was up with that?
Anyway.
I don't have one. All I know is that when Josh got them, he came over the day after, and he couldn't stop talking about how awesome they were.
It really gorgeous stuff. So also, if you don't win, you really should check it out because they're cool, because they really like to make good art to put on your wall, because it's not
they,
like –
Where can they check it out?
Allposters.com.
All right. So who won?
The winner is –
Ron Richards. I mean,
it is. It's Ronald Buckman.
All right.
Is that a fake name? Is that just you, Ron?
No, it's not. I wish it was. I wish I was that clever.
So you can go there and check it out. I'll email you. We'll send you what you need to know to get you to claim your prize. It's a good prize. I think that's worth. It's like $100 for the 30 by 40 one. So
that's awesome. That's a great prize, Ronald. I envy you. So
wait a minute. Your name is Ron B. Richards. Are you Ron Buckman Richards?
No, I wish. Anyway.
Why?
Cool. So be sure to go to
iFanboy. Just say yes and we wouldn't even check. We'd just give it to you.
Be sure to go to iFanboy.com/store and sign up to become a member. That's how you can be eligible to win all these awesome giveaways. In the meantime, over at iFanboy.com, we've got even more podcasts than this good one that you're listening to. We've got the iFanboy Don't Miss podcast, where every week we talk to a creator about a book that's coming out. Last week we talked to Fred Van Lente about Chaos War, which was very, very good, by the way. I picked up.
He's peppy.
Yeah, he's very peppy, isn't he? He's very excitable. This coming week, we're taking a week off at Don't Miss because
I'll tell you why. Because you can't do interviews with creators when they're all in one place walking around drunk.
Exactly. Or traveling en route to that place. And especially considering Niesman is on his way to New York as well, and he's probably drunk already. So
I think we should just say, you know, from now on, normally if there's a big con, there won't be a Don't Miss episode.
Exactly.
The Monday after.
Fair enough. But we do want to keep you entertained, and so this past week we released a Talksplode about the Superman Batman Apocalypse DVD release. Connor, I believe you and Paul, and who else?
Me and Paul and Ryan and Chris talked about Chris was sober, I think.
God.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't because we recorded the day he does 11 o'clock.
Oh, there you go. So go back in the feed if you didn't catch that, or go to ifanboy.com and take a listen to that. And then this coming week, we've got a very extra long talkspload that Josh did with writer Scott Snyder of American Vampire and Detective Comics. So
really good conversation.
Yeah, that's definitely one to look out for. So. And you can find all that stuff at ifanboy.com, which is where you can also find my Pick of the Week review about Uncanny X-Force number 1, as well as all the other great articles and posts that are there throughout the week. And Josh Richardson's been coming in with a lot of video game stuff recently, and Ryan and Molly and Mike Romo and Jimsky and Paul and everything like that. I can admit, I'm biased, but I do enjoy visiting our own website because the content, I think, is really good.
I think you just missed Wood.
Yeah, Wood's back. And, Jason Wood's back with his financial stuff, yeah.
And Allie. Because yes. You named everybody else, so I just have to name right. The people that
yes.
Left.
And Josh.
Yep. So.
See how we did it for each other?
Yeah, that's right.
I love you.
So if you go to ifanboy.com, if you go to ifanboy.com, you can check all that stuff out. Go to ifanboy.com/about to see all of our social network links, and you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/ifanboy.
You can.
I don't know what any of this has to do with Nazis.
Nazis.
You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Leave us a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS 326-2697. The questions, comments, concerns, discussion topics. We'll use them on this show or sometimes the video show, or sometimes we'll use them on the letter column every Friday on ifanboy.com.
If you Nazi us, write a review in iNazi.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm going to take that back.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's an app.
I think maybe you should stop from the Nazi stuff after earlier.
It's kind of hard now because
yeah.
I'm tired.
Well, yeah.
And it's just – yeah. If you like the show, write a review in iTunes. This is going to be like, I can't believe you think Nazis are funny. people
don't.
Suffered. I know. It's okay. Chaplin did it. Write a review in iTunes, or better yet, tell everybody that you know who might like the show, or even who don't. Force people who don't want to listen to it, and we'll win them over.
Yeah.
Like we won each other over eventually.
So we should also mention that this past weekend was the New York Comic Con, and we just want to thank everybody who came by our booth or said hello to us at the show or came to the party at Bergen Street. You know, definitely had a great time this weekend, so we want to thank everybody for coming out, and hopefully there were no disasters that we don't know about because we're recording before the con happens. So.
I love this weird time warp phenomena that happens yeah. when we record before the thing happens.
There's always the fingers crossed hoping that something horrible hasn't gone down.
Exactly.
And we're all like, wow, it was great when Stan Lee died on camera.
Jesus.
Well, you just beat what I said.
All right. Well, so thank you, everybody. We hope you had a good time at the con, and we'll see you next year at the conventions because we are done for this year. Thank God. So, all right. So until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm actually going to be going to Josh Con. It takes place in the bathroom. I don't need a lanyard or anything. You can't come close to the envelope that I've given. Guys, don't wear one.